Look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
All right, nice to have you back with us. And, of course, you look through the window of baseball. As I do here at spring training, I see the White Sox coming across the field. And, Bruce Jenkins, you know the feel of spring training. We've got a couple of weeks to go. Things are starting to happen. I'm starting to feel like maybe there is a season ahead of us.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know who's coming from the White Sox, but they've got a really interesting team. You know, a tremendous player, Eloy Jimenez. They've got a kid, Luis, I think it's pronounced Robert, who's already signed for a lot of money, and he hasn't played a game yet. They've got Andrew Vaughn, the Cal guy, and they're going to hit like heck. Things are starting to come together. You see the Giants, you know, cutting some players and the roster taking a little bit of shape. Not a lot, but absolutely.
Yeah, Lewis, and I agree with you. I don't know if he's the Pirate Robert or Robert. I don't know what to call him. But he's leading off today. Mazzara is in right. And Andrew Vaughn is hitting third from
beautiful.
Cal.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's for real. He's a tremendous hitter. He's hit his way through the minors, and it's just a matter of, is he going to be a DH there? You know, can he play first? There's a lot of really good hitters kind of in his way, but I'm glad he's making some impressions.
Yeah, interesting guest we just had on. It made me think of you, and it was Brad Baluchian, and he wrote the book called The Wax Pack. So he was a baseball card collector in 1986, and that was sort of his seminal year of kind of baseball. And he went back and he bought a pack of 1986 Topps cards, opened it up, and said, I'm going to go find every player in this pack. And he did. And he interviewed him. And
oh, my gosh.
Really, and a journey of finding all these, Steve Yeager, Randy Reddy, you know, players like that. He could have had anybody in there.
Oil can Boyd.
He could have had anybody in there. So it's a fun read. It made me think of you again. And maybe your first year of baseball cards, what were baseball cards like in your life?
Well, the Dodgers moved west, and really aging myself here, but you and I can talk about these things.
Look, my
The Dodgers moved west in 1958, and I was all over the baseball cards from the beginning. For me, 58, 59, 60 through about 63, you know, right about the time up until I started high school, I was an avid collector. And, you know, I had them all in my little room upstairs. And in 1979, I'm out of the house now. I'm out of college and I'm at Cal. Our house burned to the ground. Absolutely 100% gone, everything. And all my old stuff, like my basketball Letterman's jacket, stuff like that that I left at that parents' house, and the baseball cards. All disappeared, and so for years I thought, I'm a grown man, what the heck, who cares, you know, but but they started bugging me, and a few years ago I set out to not, you know, get entire sets, but I went through the Topps book where they show all the cards and, you know, how they looked, and you know, you see these cards that meant something to you when you were a kid. You know, that's one I've got to have. And I made a list, and I went through all the local shops, tried to get bargains. I didn't care if there was a pinhole in one of them. I didn't really like an ink mark or, you know, somebody writing on something or you know, defacing it like graffiti. But, you know, a couple of bent corners didn't bother me, and I kind of reestablished my set.
Well, you know, Bruce, we are so much alike. Sometimes it scares me, our love for baseball. And I did a very similar thing. Of course, I came home from law school. I was in Gainesville. I was in University of Florida, probably 1965 or so. I said, well, I don't need these baseball cards anymore. What do I need them for? And I threw them out. When the 70s came around and cards were still affordable, I went back and bought some of the cards just like you did.
There you go.
From the 50s and from 55, 56, 57 and all that. And I didn't care. And I still have them. And I didn't care if it had a little bit of a crease or if it was worn.
Yeah.
And my George Crow card, I can still see it, of the 53 Topps. And But isn't it beautiful? And you know what? You said something that's very important, and I think for baseball fans could appreciate it. And that is when you hold the card, as we grew up, and hopefully for people today to some degree, it told the story by just holding the card. And you understood who Mickey Mantle was or who Willie Mays was or Johnny Antonelli. And just by looking at that face, the card and the story came to life. I think that was the lure of it.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, the back of the card had the stats. And, of course, people laugh now at how basic the stats were. But back then they were essential. And you can learn something about a player, you know, looking at his power stats, stolen bases, his average and stuff like that, and win and loss in ERA. It's real basic, but it does tell you something about what kind of a player this guy is. So when he comes to town, you know a little bit something about him. You know what he looks like. You can spot him on the field if they don't have the names on the backs of the uniforms, and it all counts.
Well, it's you know, it's so funny you said that, you know, and I collected football cards, too.
I did, too. Yeah, a few.
And the Baltimore Colts, that was my team for some reason.
Oh, man.
I love Johnny Unitas and all that. And they came to play. I know this is a big digression, but what the heck. They came to play the Steelers.
It's 3rd and 10, Marty.
Right. They came to play the Steelers in Miami in an exhibition game. And, you know, Johnny Unitas, Big Daddy Lipscomb and all his players. And the bus pulled up. And I looked in the window, and looking back at me was a defensive back who I had his football card, Milt Davis. And to this day, the only reason I knew who he was because I had the football card.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how we learned who the players were. You know, if you ever ran into him, which I never did, in Brooklyn, you know, we never saw anybody. You know, there were no card shows or stuff like that. But that's the way you got to learn it. Boy, it was a nice time to connect with baseball, wasn't it?
Well, it really was. And I don't know. I mean, yeah, I collected a few football cards, really select ones. But you know, I've ever since the Colts moved out of Baltimore, I've been incensed with it, with the hearsay. I'm still just as mad as I was then, because that was, the L.A. Rams were not terribly special when I'm getting into high school. But the Baltimore Colts come in, man, now you're talking. And I just love watching the highlights of those scenes. But anyway.
Great books written about them. Great books.
Yeah, very much. I think I have all of them.
Yeah, I love it. All right, let's talk a little round ball here, baseball, whatever you want to call it. Ron Wotus got into it with Kershaw the other night, and it was terrific. Of course, Wo is the third base coach, and it's a night game in Glendale, where you and I have been there a number of times. Kershaw's pitching. Cueto starts for the Giants, and Justin Turner, as he always does, hangs over the plate. Cueto throws up and in, and it hits Turner's hand, and he's okay, thank goodness.
Yeah.
And the next inning, Brantley, the rookie catcher, is up there, and Kershaw just throws right, plunks him, you know, right in the rear end. I mean, he missed the strike zone by 6 feet.
Yeah.
And that was it. And Wotus, at the end of the inning, ran past Kershaw and gave him a, what are you doing? This is spring training. It's enough of this BS. Mm-hmm. And Kershaw started barking back at him, and it was a baseball moment in spring training. I loved it.
Yeah, I wrote about that in the 3-Dot Lounge today, actually.
Oh, good.
I was really offended by Turner. I mean, he didn't, you know, raise a fuss, but I get so tired of guys. First of all, they're crowding the plate. Then they're leaning into the pitch, you know, getting ready to unleash this titanic flamboyant swing where you might hit it to the moon. And you pitch them inside, and they don't get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, turn a shoulder like Frank Robinson or Ron Hunt, or, you know, just clearly go, you know, retreat like Willie Mays. I mean, if you stand there like that, that pitch was inside, but I think Brantley was catching. It was not a tough catch for him. It's an inside pitch that belongs to the pitcher. No, I'm sorry, Turner, absolutely not. And for me, if I'm Wotus, I'm not so upset that they retaliated in the spring training game, but just that they retaliated at all. Tell your guy to get the hell out of the way, for Christ's sake.
I love it. You sound like Wo. That's what he sounded like. And I'm hoping we can get him on tomorrow to talk about it. But it was a good moment. And you know something? You know, it showed the Giants coaching staff something. Because let's face it, I mean, Gabe Kapler has constructed a coaching staff of people who, other than Andrew Bailey, I don't think anyone's been in the big leagues.
No, I know.
Ever.
Tough.
So they're not going to take Kershaw on. You know what I mean? They're still feeling their way along. And Wotus is the guy. He said, hey, this is Major League Baseball. You're not going to get away with it. And I thought it was a good lesson for everybody. So I was glad it happened. I was glad.
Yeah, that's true. And, yeah, they don't have that element on the coaching staff. And, you know, they've lost Bumgarner, who's a pretty good enforcer, you know, in, usually in all the right ways. I mean, he in terms of hitting guys, he was pretty fair-minded. He could get a little hot under the collar just by a guy looking at him wrong, but that's a whole different story. But with, speaking of which, it's interesting that nobody has signed Yasiel Puig, isn't it? I mean, that's, we're getting close here.
I know, and it's amazing. And, again, the two reasons. One, and, of course, I follow MLB trade rumors. They talk about it every week or so.
Yeah.
His analytical numbers, Bruce, they're going in the wrong direction. And what can I tell you? And you know what that means to, you know, most of these front offices today. You know, the strikeout rate is going up, the walk rate's going down, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But still, you put the guy in there at a critical moment, he's going to give you an at-bat. And the other part is that he's a pain in the neck.
I mean, for all the time with the Dodgers, you could tell that there were some really great moments between Puig and his teammates and some of the coaches. But I always read that the bottom line was that, you know, he was kind of disliked in the clubhouse because he's basically kind of a me-first kind of guy and not that generous toward the teammates and does, you know, some things on the bases or in the field that don't make any sense. And he's a little off that way. So he's a bit of a gamble for sure. I mean, so I'm not terribly surprised, but he is a dynamic player.
Yeah.
Analytics be damned. I mean, he can hit the ball out for you. He runs great and he's got a great arm.
Well, we got a lot to talk about. Maybe tomorrow we can. But you know, taking the third strike. How about that approach?
Yeah, well, I'm really going to write about that. I'm waiting. The piece is going to run on Sunday, tomorrow. Henry's piece is going to run on Sunday. So I'm going to wait to write about that. But I've got an awful lot of thoughts about that, pro and con. That's a fascinating topic, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Just very briefly, you know, the statistics say if you have 6,000 at-bats that go to 3-2, 2,000 times you're going to get a walk.
Yeah.
So take the third strike. Don't swing at it if it's a close pitch, because you're not going to do much anyway. So it's crazy. I don't know. I realize what the statistics may show, but it changes your mind. In my opinion, changes your mindset as a hitter. And also, these statistics are probably put together before people started taking third strikes. And now let's see if you start taking third strikes, what it does to you as a hitter in general and to the game. So I got a lot of thoughts about that.
Two interesting cases with the Giants. I mean, Barry Bonds had a very rigid strike zone, and he wouldn't. He never wavered. He wouldn't chase pitches, and he was right about 99% of the time. He very rarely got rung up on a borderline pitch. Brandon Belt, kind of the same mentality, but he gets rung up a fair amount of the time.
Yes.
And so where's the line there? To me, it's never okay to strike out. I mean, if you've got second and third and one out, and it's okay to strike out, so, nope.
It just isn't.
And, you know, give me a guy who, give me a Joey Votto or a Pete Rose who fights off pitches and wears the pitcher out and has the art of, it's not easy. Not everybody can sit up there and use their bat like that and foul off pitch after pitch. It's a real art to it. And if you can't do it, you look horrible, like the Giants say, and you don't want to look like an idiot up there. But if you can do that, that's the best way to go.
I just can't. It just goes against my grain to say, yes, it's okay to take a third strike. It's not. That's where
really
you got a bat.
Yeah. How about Joe? You should check out all these people out there. Check out Joe DiMaggio's strikeout numbers. He was like the perfect ball player.
Right.
And, of course, he hit for power and average and everything else. But not striking out was terribly important to him, so he didn't, okay?
No. Come on. He would strike out 13 times a year.
Simply.
You know, not a week, a year.
Good grief, yeah.
Yeah, my God. All right, we got plenty to talk about tomorrow. I haven't seen the 3-Dot Lounge for today, and I'll look forward to the article tomorrow. So always a pleasure, and I appreciate the baseball chatter. I love talking with you.
Absolutely, Marty. Great stuff. Thanks a million.
Okay, talk to you tomorrow. That is the great Bruce Jenkins.